Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I have been really heavy on the politics, and I'm not going to apologize because that is what is going on in our world, and I am paying attention to what is going on in our world. Now, I recognize that politics are not what life is about. In fact, all these politics, all these issues, all this shit, it's all man-made. So it cannot be what life is about. So it should not be all that I talk about, even though it's very important, especially right now. But I'm still not going to talk about it. Okay, I might talk about it just a little bit. And like, what do y'all prefer? Do you want me to get a little bit of politics out the way at the beginning? Or should I wait till the end so people could drop off? Give me your feedback. Send me a DM at the Rich Room Podcast on Instagram. Let me know what y'all think. I want to serve my audience. I want to give the people what they want while also being authentic to myself. I feel like that is the secret sauce. So if I'm being completely honest with y'all, I did not want to podcast today. It's not that I didn't really want a podcast. It's just that I feel like I have so much going on. And it's hard for me to, one, stay focused, two, not get distracted. So I guess, is that the same thing, being focused and not getting distracted? I think that might be the same thing. But anywho, I got some problems with that. I can get distracted very easily. And sometimes it's really hard for me to get in the creative groove. Also, I have all of these things going on in my business that it feels so overwhelming. The good thing is that I'm tackling it day by day. As long as I keep that fucking needle moving, that is what I have to focus on. I just have to keep going. I just have to put one foot in front of the other. And that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'm doing things now that I have never been able to do, such as content. I have been filming a fuck ton of content, and not just like some BS content. It is curated and specifically, strategically aimed at my ideal audience. And I am doing all the fucking things. I am also, I mean, officially or unofficially, like a damn coder. I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but my friend Zixa in Dubai has been helping me with my website, and it involves coding. And guess who has been coding? It's really like copy and pasting and then having Zixa like figure out why it's wrong. But I am doing things I have never been able to do. I mean, I would say, fuck, maybe even like January, I would just look at the website and I was just cry because I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I was working with a marketing person. We parted ways because it wasn't working out. So then I'm like, fuck, I gotta like fucking get this going. Anywho, so I'm working on that. And it's just a lot. It's just a lot to deal with. I share the space, the house with my daughter, and we're both very similar, which is a very good thing because we get along like almost all the time. But then because we are so similar, I think that probably gets on each other's nerves a little bit too. And like, so if she's in a bad mood, it's very hard for me to not pick that up or take that on. and I'm getting a lot better at it. But today she was in a mood, and I'm trying to like not be reactive or to take on the feelings or to not get triggered by it, because sometimes her emotions will trigger me because I'm trying not to act that way. And so when I see it happening and seeing it happening in a person who looks almost identical to me, it just like almost triggers me back into that. So I have to learn how to not do that. And it ain't the easiest. Let me tell you, it ain't the easiest to learn how to regulate your own emotions. It's taken me a really long time, but it is probably been one of the best things for me, for my mental health, for my emotional health, my spiritual health. It's even had a profound effect on my body. Like, I did this 30-day nervous system somatic workout, and it's basically saying that we all, anything that's ever happened to any of us, traumatic. I know that's an emotional trauma, but the body also undergoes stress and trauma from these whatever events, traumatic events that have happened to you. So the body essentially is keeping score with what is going on in your life. And while some of us are in therapy, working out, you know, the emotional trauma that affects us mentally, I think we forget, or maybe people really don't even realize, that your body holds on to emotional trauma. And when you work that out, when you get that through, when you actually have a release from all of that, your body changes. It's like, I want to say, I don't know if, I think I was really inflamed. My body was incredibly inflamed, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize it, but I've seen a significant change in my body just from doing the somatic workout to regulate my nervous system and to learn how to regulate my emotions. So I will say, because me and Madison didn't get in like a fight, but you know, when it's like super tense and you're not trying to say anything to annoy the other person, but you can feel the tension, it was like that. And it was stressing me out. So I decided that, you know, I do these little things for myself. I'm like, okay, if you do something, not necessarily that you don't want to do, but you know that you have to get done, in order to sweeten the deal a little more, make it a little sweeter, I give myself a treat. Yes, I tell myself I can have a little treat if I do the thing I need to do. And it works. I've realized that I am very good at motivating myself with little treats. I think everyone should do this with themselves. Motivate yourself with little treats. So my little treat that I have today, I didn't want to have to go to the grocery store, so I just sort of rummaged around the fridge to see what we have. But my little treat today is a Belvedere soda with a little Mio in it, and a little strawberry watermelon Mio with some lemon LaCroix. Now, I think that Mio will probably, you know, be changing its composition of ingredients pretty soon, because I believe all the artificial dyes are being banned by the federal government. So RIP to those dyes. I wonder how that's going to pan out. It's been a weird time. My generation has experienced so many interesting, odd, once in a lifetime things. Like, it feels like we've had like many, many once in a lifetime events. So at this point, we're just like, whatever, fuck it. Oh, let me take a little sip. I didn't mean to do this, but I made my little drink extra strong. So I probably can only have one, because I am teaching Pilates tomorrow. So I can't get, you know, all crazy now. I do have some good news about my animals, Sadie and Lydia. So, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but probably. So, I have an issue with Sadie and Lydia. Well, I have many issues with Sadie and Lydia, but okay, so the first issue that I have is that I literally have Sadie and Lydia as emotional support animals. Like, they are supposed to be my emotional support animals. I literally had my therapist write a note for my, when I was leasing my last house and this house, to say that they are my emotional support animals, because they do provide me with emotional support, right? I mean, I moved to Miami all by myself and I needed some damn emotional support. Now, while they do keep me company and they are good companions, I would say, they are quite snobby. They are quite needy, and they are constantly following me around from room to room, looking at me, staring at me, wanting something from me at all times. It can get kind of overwhelming when all of the beings in the house are all looking to you for everything. And you're like, can y'all turn around? Can you stop looking at me, please? I feel very uncomfortable. So I came to realize that they are not my emotional support animals. I am their emotional support human. I didn't ask for this role, but here we are. The problem is that I care too fucking much in all aspects of fucking life. I care so much, and I wish that I did not care about things as much as I care about things, about the animals, about politics, about people, injustices, about like all kinds of things, about myself, about insecurities, about like how I look, about how I present myself to the world, about how people perceive me. I mean, some of those things I don't care about anymore. But in the past, I've cared so much that me caring so much, it's almost debilitating. It almost gets in my way of functioning. It's fucking annoying, if I have to say so myself. So since my animals are not really emotional support animals, I am having an emotional support beverage. So yeah, the animals are quite needy. Lydia just thinks that everything, every surface in the house belongs to her. Everything in the house belongs to her. She has currently claimed my reformer that I purchased to, teach Pilates at my house. I mean, that's the goal, but also maybe Pilates content. I don't know. That's a whole nother motherfucking business that I need to start up. One thing at a time, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. So the pets. The pets are needy, but they're cute. They're lucky. They're so, so, so damn cute. But the biggest issue that I've had with them is their pickiness and their snobbiness about the food that they eat. Now, I buy those bitches, and when I say bitches, I mean Sadie and Lydia. I buy those bitches top shelf pet food. I've done research. I've tried multiple top shelf food. I tried different textures. I tried different flavors. I tried different brands. They are not consistent. They have not been consistent for years. And it got to the point where I'm like thinking something's wrong, that I need to take them to the vet because of it. Like, I don't really know. But the one thing that kept me from going to the vet was that they would always eat their treats. Like, never fails. They would eat their treats. So I'm like, all right, if they're eating their treats, then there's nothing wrong with them. And I've just been playing this fucking game with them, these mind games where I feed them something and then they just stare at me and they're like, I'm not eating that shit. This is too similar to the food that I ate this morning. I'm not eating that shit. What the fuck is this shit? I won't eat this. And so I'm like, damn it. And then I get nervous that they're not eating and I get worried. And really, it gets me very upset, like at my wit's ends. I've had to like meditate about it. I've had to be like, don't let them affect you, with my dog Sadie particularly, because she just fucking stares at me. And then sometimes she'll just bark at me and her bark goes straight through my ears and she just stares at me. And so I've really had to learn, like, I've done the gray rock technique where I just pretend that she's not there, that I'm just like a gray rock, and that she can't grab my attention because it's like she doesn't exist. Oh, my sister just texted me. She's going to a wedding and she was sending me pictures of dress options. And she's concerned that the dress she picked is too flashy and it might pull focus from the bride. I'll have to write her back after this. You do want to err on the side of caution when going to a wedding, unless you don't like the bride, that is. And then I say wear whatever the fuck you want. I'm just kidding. I would never do that. You know, a bitch did wear white to my wedding. But you know what? Even though she wore white, she did not pull focus from me. She tried. Okay, back to the pets. So I don't know why it's taken me this long, but I took my problem to the streets. And by the streets, I mean Reddit. And I went to Reddit and I wrote like, dog won't eat food, but eats treats. Reddit. Okay, because that's what you always have to do. When you type something into Google, it's a question, right? You have a question and you need it answered and you want it answered by the Reddit streets because, quite frankly, it might be the only reliable source that we have right now. Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of a joke, but it's kind of not a joke. You know what I'm saying? So I took my problem to Reddit and I found a thread, came right up with my problem, and I started reading, and apparently this is a common thing amongst pets that they will manipulate your ass into giving them more treats. It's like they hold out on eating their food because they know you're going to give them some treats. Once I read this little Reddit thread, my entire perspective shifted on feeding the animals, because on the thread they said that you should feed the animals at feeding time, and if they don't eat it, take the food away and only bring food out at feeding time. And then you take it away, so it's not just sitting there. And they were like, if you do that, you continue to do that, they will eat their food. And damn it, if it did not fucking work. I was like, I am a damn animal trainer. I am a lion tamer, you know, because Lydia's the lion. I felt so accomplished. So once I realized that they were manipulating me, I decided that I was going to win that game. I'm the one who has to buy the food. I'm the one who has to feed them. So I'm going to win that damn game. And I have. I feel like I have. I mean, sort of. They still kind of run the whole house, but small wins, right? Progress, not perfection. Speaking of animals, have y'all seen the animal commercials, like the ASPCA commercials? And they have like Will from Will and Grace. What the fuck is his name? Eric Norman. Eric Northman is from True Blood, but Eric something. Eric Roberts? Nope, that's Julia Roberts' brother. It's Eric something, but he played Will on Will and Grace. Anywho, he's talking in these animal commercials, and he's saying, like, him and this other woman, they're like, these animals are moments from death. And they're showing, you know, these videos of these animals, and it's so sad, and they have the saddest music. I don't even know if it's Sarah McLachlan's Arms of the Angel anymore, but it's something comparable. And it probably is that damn song. That bitch retired on that song. Am I right? They play that song in so many animal pet help rescue commercials. She retired on that song. In those animal commercials, they have the people saying, these animals are moments from death. They are about to die. And they're showing all these animals on the camera, and I'm like, if the animals are moments from death, why don't you help them? The camera people is who I'm talking about. If they're moments from death, we can't help them when you shot that footage. It doesn't make any sense. That's on you. That's on you to help those animals. But then come up with a different sales pitch, because it's not working. Flipped it back on you. You see how I did that? Flipped it back on you. It's actually your problem, cameraman. It's your problem, Sarah McLachlan. It's your problem, Eric. Don't remember your last name. Not even sure if Eric is your first name. Will. Just call him Will. I think I've had too many emotional support beverages or sips, basically. Okay, so in addition to my pet problems, I have been dealing with some minor to major health problems. Okay, I may or may have not self-diagnosed myself with something. And I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to this, right? Something is going on with you. You have these symptoms and you're like, I'm going to Google these symptoms. And you start searching through Google and WebMD. And before you know it, you've diagnosed yourself with multiple illnesses. Well, that kind of happened to me. But, well, okay, I'll just tell you the story. So, I have always been extremely double jointed, extremely what I would call quote unquote flexible. After going through my Pilates teacher training and working with a physical therapist there, I was told and realized that I have extreme hypermobility in my joints. I already knew that. I mean, it's visible from looking at my arms, my knees, and when I move in my spine and my hips, that all of my joints are extremely hypermobile. Now, what does this mean? It means that the joints extend farther past the point where normal people's joints would stop. Okay. So hypermobility or extreme hypermobility is a symptom of a connective tissue disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Now, I am not ashamed to say that the reason that I even learned about this condition was from TikTok. Well, not really my TikTok. I don't really go on TikTok all that much. I really can only focus on one social media platform at a time, and I just can't learn TikTok. I just don't want to. I can see how addicted people are to it, and I understand, rightfully so. I mean, I see so many people learn amazing things on TikTok, which is great, but I don't need another thing for me to get sucked into. I'm already dealing with being sucked into the news, sucked into Instagram. Like, I don't need another thing to be a distraction. I have enough distractions. So I don't really get on TikTok, but my daughter, Madison, does get on TikTok. And she sent me something one day about a girl describing all of these symptoms for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or EDS. And I was like, oh my God. We have all of those. Not just me, Madison too, because if I have it, Madison for sure has it, because she is almost even more hypermobile than I am. So I'm thinking I have this condition. I've always had chronic pain in my body, and I really didn't know why. I've been to many different kinds of specialists, and I've never gotten any relief or gotten any real guidance on what's going on with me until I started doing Pilates, and until the women who I was working with, when they were watching me do Pilates and execute the moves, they're like, you are extremely hypermobile in all of your joints. And the reason they're even noticing that is because it looks unsafe. And if I moved in the wrong way, it could be unsafe and I could injure myself. So I went ahead and I called a rheumatologist. Honestly, I had to Google what kind of doctor to even go to for this kind of condition. And it's a rheumatologist. So I called a rheumatologist and I called for an appointment. I mean, this was even like 2 months ago, I want to say. And the earliest appointment that I could get was July. Is that not fucking insane? Oh my God. Like, yeah, I honestly could not believe that. So I got an appointment with a rheumatologist to discuss whether or not I have any derivative of this condition, because the condition actually is quite deteriorating. Like, if anything, I would have a very mild case of it. And there are people who have this condition that are extremely physically challenged. So even though I feel like I might have it, I am grateful that whatever I do have is a mild, would be a mild version of it. It was also further confirmed by me, the expert. I mean, really though, I am an expert on my own body, right? I'm the only one who can feel what I'm going through. So I am the expert on my body. So I was going through my Pilates teacher training and I was doing Pilates a lot. And I kept getting very bad pain in my neck and in my shoulder, like really bad. I had to keep going. I had to keep seeing a massage therapist and a physical therapist to get any kind of relief. And it was constant. It happened all the time, but I was doing Pilates all the time. So I thought that's just what it was. And I was getting pretty close to my test. There was one day that I was in pretty bad pain, but the normal woman who I see wasn't available. So I took like a 7 p.m. appointment with a different physical therapist. Met with her. She did a manual release in my shoulder and shoulder blade, and she found 2, maybe 3 very large knots that she was able to release from my shoulder area. And it felt better. I was very grateful. It felt really good. So I went to bed that night and I slept well, and I woke up the next day and I felt better, but I felt really, really sore. And my shoulder felt like it was just hanging. Like it was just hanging from the socket. And it was a Saturday, and my daughter and I were going to sit outside and get some sun. So we went to sit outside and I could not get comfortable. My shoulder was in so much pain that I could not get comfortable. And it got to a point where I couldn't even sit still. So I actually stood up and I started just like walking back and forth. We were playing music, so I was just trying to take my mind off my shoulder. It didn't get better. It didn't feel better. And so I just started like kind of stretching. I started like doing some, you know, very mild Pilates moves. And there came a point where I was doing some stretching and I felt, I put like my legs, grounded my feet onto the floor, and I was sitting down and I started to stand up and I put pressure on my right foot, like more pressure on my right foot. And I could feel myself stepping down into my right hip. And as I stood up, I felt like this pull, like a diagonal pull from my right hip up to my left shoulder. And as I was standing up, I just stood up, but kind of in a slow manner. And as I stood up, I could feel my bone of my shoulder like roll under something. And like it felt like it clicked into place. And I was like, holy shit. And then I twisted my arm and I felt another like click into place. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, did I just pop my shoulder back into place? And I'm like, was my shoulder dislocated? How did it get dislocated? How long has it been dislocated? I was very shocked. It was a huge, very crazy moment for me. And as soon as that happened, as soon as my shoulder felt like it popped back into place, I felt like an immediate release in my back. And so then I started like doing all these like very basic foundational Pilates moves to try and get my body moving to see how it felt. And I could feel that, I could feel the weakness in my back. It was fucking wild. So I have this big body revelation where I seemingly have popped my shoulder back into place. Mind you, didn't know that it was dislocated. Didn't know that there was an issue. Now, I have had a wrist issue for years now. And believe it or not, my wrist issue is not all the way gone, but it has improved significantly. And I am pretty sure that is due to me popping my shoulder back into place and begin to rehab my muscles around my shoulder, and actually strengthening my muscles properly. This experience was simultaneously amazing and scary, because then I'm like, well, if my shoulder has been out of socket for a significant amount of time, did I tear something? Is that why? So I went and got an MRI with the doctor. Everything is fine. There are no tears. The doctor was interesting. Now, I'm very grateful that I could find someone to do an MRI the same week that I just had to pay for. And they also had a doctor there who could read it or order it. Yeah, who could order it. But the doctor was odd. And when I started telling him about the hypermobility, I'm like, I think I'm very hypermobile. He's like, oh, well, a lot of women are. And I'm like, okay, but do a lot of women come in here telling you they think they pop their shoulder back into place after it being dislocated for an unknown amount of time? I just feel like he wasn't listening to me, and it kind of seemed like he and the MRI technician were on drugs. Like, they were either on speed or cocaine or some amphetamine of some sort, because they would not shut the fuck up, and they would not stop talking. They would not stop asking questions. It was kind of alarming. And then, so I was doing the MRI, and the guy's like, do you want to listen to any music? And I was like, yeah. And because they had on, actually, I asked, they had on like twangy modern country. And that just is not my vibe. That is not my jam. And I was like, can I make a request in the music? He's like, yeah, you can request anything. I was like, let's do funk music, 70s funk. And he was like, okay. And then the other guy came in as I'm doing the MRI, and I can hear him. He's like, oh, this is the music I listened to when I was younger. And I'm like, yeah, it fucking slaps, doesn't it? I didn't say that, but actually I was kind of scared, because I was like placed in between these two things while I'm in the MRI. And when you're in an MRI, I feel like the thoughts that go through your head are like, am I wearing metal? Because I don't know if y'all saw that one person who went into an MRI, and they had, I think this is a true story, also a little bit explicit, so apologies. Apparently, they went into an MRI, and this is wild, but with a butt plug. I know. Well, who would do that? So they went into an MRI with a butt plug, and apparently the core of said plug was metal. And so whenever the MRI machine started, I think it literally bore a hole internally through the person. I actually saw this story on a lawyer social media account that I follow, and the person was suing the manufacturer of the sex toy, because apparently it said it was silicone only, but apparently it was not. So I was worried about that. I mean, not about the butt plug, because I definitely don't get down like that, but I was worried that I had metal on, like maybe around necklace, and it was like going to go and choke me and go like right into the magnet of the MRI. I don't even know if that's how that works, but that is the irrational fear that was living rent-free in my mind at the time. Another issue that I've been having is that I have been hearing my heartbeat in my right ear. Now, I do not know what this is related to. So I went to a general practitioner and told him about it, and he has referred me to an ENT. So that is my next thing to do, is to go to an ENT. But I'm just busy. I mean, I fucking got a follow-up mammogram earlier this week, because they had some areas of concern in my initial mammogram. I do have a mass in the left breast, but they think it is benign. They're pretty sure that it's benign, but I'm going to get a follow-up in 6 months to see if it has changed at all and just go from there. So I feel like I'm in a good place. I feel like I'm keeping up with my preventative care. I feel like I'm, you know, doing, I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. And I love where I live. I love where I live so much. I've never really been happier in a house before. I love my house despite all of its problems. It does have some problems. I mean, it's an old fucking house, but it's a beautiful fucking house. And I really love living here, and I hope to live here more. I hope to live here a few more years. I'm absolutely obsessed with my next door neighbor, Mikey. I love him so much. He is 85 years old. He lives alone. He has daughters. He's divorced, but he has a girlfriend. Her name's Millie. I've met her. She's amazing. And he's just, he's an amazing guy. He like doesn't talk to us unless we talk to him. He's very much like reads the room, doesn't like try to impose on us. He just totally lets us come to him. And I like that so much. I talked to him the other day, and he was like, we were like, hey, we probably should, you know, have a wine drinking day soon, because he likes to drink, and he has a cute little like mini bar area in his house. And so one night he took us, me and Madison, to this restaurant, this like Irish restaurant called Duffy's. That's like the most Irish name ever. And it was just so amazing. He bought us dinner, and he just told us all about his life. He just told us like how to handle unwanted advances, like from a gentleman. And I've never had anyone ever tell me how to do that. And it was just so fucking refreshing. And listen, although it wasn't a date at all, it was the best damn date I've ever been on, I think. He introduced us to people. He was like, oh, here's some more neighbors from our neighborhood. I love him so much. Maybe I should get him to be a guest on the podcast. He's the shit. He does all of his own work. He's just working all the time. He's doing his yard work. He's painting his house. He's painting his driveway. He's growing tomatoes. He should give a master class on how to be a man. He gives me hope for men, honestly. I love him so much. Now, the neighbors on the other side, I don't really know them all that well. We haven't had any negative interactions, but they're just not friendly. And I've heard some yelling coming from their house on a regular basis. So it just doesn't give good energy, doesn't give good vibes. I mean, that is a total prejudgment, though. I don't know what they're like, but we haven't spoken. And I mean, I'm okay with that. I do know that my shrubs, like, I guess, grow through the fence. And the other day, I guess they cut the shrubs on their side, and then they blew with the leaf blower all of the trimmings through the fence onto my side of the fence. And I'm like, you know what? I got it. I'll take care of it. That's okay. I got it. They also, I don't know if this is true, but it seems that way. It seems like what anytime Madison and I go out there and we play music, not loud at all, it feels like they try to have a music battle by playing extremely loud country music. You know what, though? I decided the last time that happened, I was like, I'll go get my fucking headphones. They are not going to get me out of my peace. I have worked so damn hard to be a peaceful person, to not let things bother me like that, and to just recognize that when people are being, like, I mean, for lack of a better word, fucking dicks, like, you just, that says more about them than it does about me. And you know what? Whatever. What the fuck ever. You know what? There one time was someone, the electric company had done some work around the power lines around both of our houses, and they left some trash. And the neighborhood that I live in has these rules that you can't put trash out before, like, You can't put trash out until the night before the collection. Otherwise, you can get fined. And so I got a ticket like last year that I had, they're like, you have put trash out. And I called and I was like, I didn't put trash out. That's not my trash. My trash is behind a locked gate that I unlock on trash days. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they were like, oh, well, we gave a notice to you and your neighbor. And these are the neighbors who we really haven't, you know, we haven't hit it off yet, for lack of better words. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go move the trash because I don't want me or my neighbors to get cited for this, because I know the neighbors didn't do it either. I know for a fact it was the electric people. So I was being a good neighbor, and I mean, it was self-interested as well, but I didn't want them to get, they didn't do it. So I brought the trash in and I took it out whenever it was appropriate for it to be collected. And I mean, it's not like I was expecting them to say thank you or anything. They probably didn't even know, but I don't know. They could be lovely people. I'm open to any positive neighbor experiences. And I'll say, living where I live now, I've never had so many positive neighbor experiences. My neighbor across the street, lovely family. So sweet. Talks to me all the time. Yeah, love them. So the people who live behind me can just have a nice day. You know what? I'm not engaging. I like my peace more than anything, really. Okay, so I did watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The season just concluded. So regarding the reunion, Dorit was long-winded per the usual. Garcelle was the best dressed, hands down. Erica was a close second. Sutton is an asshole that might have been taking prescription anxiety medication, per Jennifer Tilly. I do think it is crazy that Dorit and PK still have not told their kids about their split. What do y'all think about this? Like, I guess they don't know what they're doing, but they have been separated for quite some time. They posted on Instagram. They made a statement that they were splitting. And their son even saw or knew about the post someone told them. And they still haven't sat down with the kids to tell them what's going on. Listen, parents generally should know what's best for their kids. So you don't want to judge another parent for what they're doing. But if I was how I would be handling it, you got to let your kids in because they know what's happening. They can feel it. Another interesting question that arose over the season is it okay to text your BFF's estranged husband? Like Kyle texting PK. PK, baby. Like, Kyle was like, oh, you know, we don't have much of a relationship. It's just jokes and memes. And then come to find out that she sent this text like, oh, I'll never say anything that you say. Like, I'll keep your secrets. And it's like, that doesn't sound like jokes and memes, Kyle. Kyle. What was Kyle wearing? What was Kyle wearing to the damn reunion? She looked like an ice skater. It's giving Nancy Kerrigan. And I am not a fan of Kyle's hairdos with the high half pony with the bundles and bundles and bundles of hair. And then Kyle dropped the damn crystals. She dropped the fucking crystals while at the reunion. The crystal was just like repelling from her. So the big thing that happened at the reunion was that Garcelle got very upset, and even though she wanted to take a cast photo, she said, we're finally going to get a cast photo at the beginning of the reunion. At the end of the reunion, she was like, I'm out, bitches. And she fucking deuced out, left, didn't take a photo with the rest of the women. I know Garcelle got very upset at the reunion because people were coming at her, but it has been a long time coming. Garcelle, over the years, has been the probe into everyone's fucking business, into Erica's business, into Dorit's business, into Kyle's business. Like, when she said to Kyle, if you want to be a lesbian, be a lesbian. I mean, that is tantamount to outing someone. And if Kyle doesn't want to fucking talk about it, respect that and don't fucking talk about it. Like, I thought it was odd. I thought it was weird. Like, that's not what you do with your friend. And apparently she came to Garcelle off camera and was like, I don't want to talk about it. And then Garcelle's like, let's be honest. If you want to be a lesbian, be a lesbian. I think another thing that pissed Garcelle off was that when they brought up that Garcelle said this season that she said it again. She goes, you know, I don't think Dorit knew about the robbery, but I think someone did. I think someone set it up. And it's like, girl, why are you still talking about this? This happened like, God dang it. Did it happen like 2 or 3 seasons ago? Why are you still talking about it? I do think Garcelle kind of has it out for Dorit. But that was odd. And Andy called her on it. And she was like, that was my feelings. That's what I thought. That's what I felt. I'm sorry that it made you upset. And she was like, that's me taking accountability. But that's not taking accountability. Just saying, I'm sorry for the way it made you feel is not taking accountability for the fact that you are, maybe you feel that way, but your feelings are based on nothing. And it's reckless because you are saying someone committed a crime. And that's off of what? What's she going off of? Like, there's nothing there. It's also, let the bone go. Let the mouse go. That's what Sutton is saying. Let the mouse go. Sutton did seem a little more relaxed this reunion. And it was so interesting that she said, she's like, I am not Miss Manners. I am not Miss Manners. But I think her tagline literally says something about manners. So that is the identity that she has taken on herself. And I don't know if anyone else has put this together. And okay, have any of y'all seen The Gentlemen on Netflix? It is directed by Guy Ritchie. There are 2 versions. There's an older version and a newer version. There's a newer version with Theo James, who is also in White Lotus Season 2. He's freaking gorgeous. That is my ideal man from a physicality standpoint. British accent included, please. Well, anyways, in that show, there is the woman who plays opposite Theo James. I don't know her name, but in the show, her name is Susie Glass. And damn it, if she is not the spitting image of a younger Sutton. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. Tell me what you think. But I think they look so much alike. Okay, so Garcelle walked off and didn't take the cast photo at the end. Why? So at the beginning of part 3 of the reunion, she said that she was pissed, and she was pissed off about everything that had happened since she sat on the couch that day. Andy pressed her, and she was very vague, and she said that she was pissed about, quote unquote, all of it. And then she said she doesn't get any grace in the group and that she stood by the things that she said and she was taking accountability, but no one accepted it and that no one smiled at her that day. And after she walked off, she started saying that she owned what she said about Dorit's house robbery being a setup, but then Bo said it was terrible. I just don't think Garcelle took accountability. I understand that she was hurt, but taking accountability would have been like, I'm sorry for my reckless words. I'm sorry that I said something out loud that I was feeling that had no basis in reality. There was nothing to go off of. That would be taking accountability. And truly, at the reunions of her seasons, she's barely even been the focus of the questions. So this was a long time coming. Garcelle has left the show. She says she's not returning to the next season, and she has unfollowed every single cast member, including Sutton. And I think Sutton was doing press and was asked about Garcelle. And Sutton said something like, oh, well, she's still following all my business accounts. I guess then that would mean that they are still friends. Well, Gutton. That's Garcelle and Sutton put together. Well, Garcelle rectified that situation and Honey unfollowed all of Sutton Strack's accounts. Now, I can totally see Garcelle's frustration because Garcelle has been by Sutton's side. The entire time Garcelle has been on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she has been on Sutton's side. And when Garcelle needed Sutton to step in for her, Sutton did not do it. And as far as Kyle allegedly being a lesbian, she said that she had to talk to her daughters about that she was possibly questioning her sexuality, and they were very receptive. Her sister Kathy said that she said that she would tell her daughters that she was a lesbian to make Kyle feel better. You can tell that Kyle doesn't want to fully commit. Like, she doesn't want to be, and she said that she's like, I'm not like coming out. And truly though, like, you don't have to. You know, straight people don't come out of the closet. Like, you don't have to. You don't owe anybody that. You can be whoever the fuck you want to be. If you want to be a lesbian, Kyle. So Kyle basically said that she is not a lesbian, but she is questioning. So she is the Q in LGBTQ. Mazel tov to Kyle. That is it for this episode. Thank you for listening to episode, I think we're on number 3 or 4 of The Rich Room. I can't even keep count. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please follow me on Instagram at The Rich Room Podcast, and you can also follow my personal account at Love with Lindsay. I hope you all have a fantastic fucking weekend, and I will see you next week. Look at me. I didn't even do any damn politics. Bye.